MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Did I forget anything? It's all brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Just watching Shaq. I was just telling Jeff off air here. When Shaq opened up his chicken spot behind the Hard Rock, he was there for the opening, met Shaq. You could fit two of me into him, by the way. He's that huge. I cannot be more impressed by a human being than I am about Shaq. He's not a guy that can throw on a baseball cap and then can sneak into events. So he's constantly, he has to be on 24/7. And he is constantly on. Like, he's always smiling. Never seems to have a bad moment. Could not be more impressed by that dude. Anyway, he was just on the screen and I'm have, you know, ADD, so I had to say something. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Jeff Isaacs, regarding NBA awards, I think people are so up in arms because voters have no set criteria. We're betting on stuff, and when money is invested, emotions are hot. Well, Jeff, there's no question about that, right? It's why I was so upset about my Juan Soto at 100-1. But I guess what I'm saying is no set criteria. Yes, especially, like, at least with MVP, you can rely on certain stats, right? Both in baseball and basketball, whatever your sport is, there's some agreed upon stats, not agreed upon, but at least we have some guidance. When you're dealing with most improved, which is such a nebulous term, or defensive player of the year, where there are really any number of criteria that you could go to. Oh, well, this person has a net rating on defense. Oh, well, I like team defense. Oh, well, this is the best defensive player on the best defensive team. I mean, that, I guess what I'm saying is you just can't get outraged by it because of that. This is from Jerry Palmetto. Does anybody know who Gil does his evening talk show with? Or Gil, if you divulge, thanks. Apparently, I never say Matt Brown or Kelly Bidlin's name. Is that what you're suggesting? And this is from Scott, New York Mets 16. Is best defensive player on best defensive team an auto non-qualifier for defensive player of the year? A defender on an offensive team would be more reward worthy than defender on defensive team. No, your thoughts? Scott, I think you're overthinking that one. I think best defender on best defensive team would actually be a qualifier. Now, whether you think Marcus Smart is actually that or not is up for debate. Dan Besbris joins us, ladies and gentlemen, the best audio in the biz from his lair in front of his draft board somewhere in Southern California. How you doing, Dano?
Yeah, nobody knows where I set this thing up. It's a different location every day.
I was just making a point earlier about it because there's so many people who are just so upset that their bet didn't get home with these awards. But man, you got to know this one, certain awards, that it's so absolutely vague. Did you have any problem with Marcus Smart being the defense player of the year?
Not really. I'm actually like kind of glad that they didn't just go back to Gobert again.
Yeah.
Do something else with it. The thing I thought was funny was that my Twitter timeline was lighting up with Bam Adebayo snubs. And I thought,
oh yeah, outrage.
I don't know, man. Like, didn't he only play 57 games this year? I needed more games to even consider it.
And even that, right? Because Gobert, I think, won it with 56 games the other year. So, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. All right.
Whatever. What are you going
to
do?
Let's get to tonight's games first. Get your thoughts on these, and then we'll talk about something from yesterday. But one, we have the 2-1-8 games. Sandwiched between those is the great Timberwolves-Grizzlies game, too. Let's start with the T-Wolves and the Grizzlies. I took the points, man. I took the 7. Am I overreacting to game one?
No, I don't think so. I thought this was kind of a bad matchup for the Grizzlies on paper. And I also, something that I look for as I'm headed into the playoffs are those teams where, and I don't want people to take this as Grizzlies slander. That's always the qualifier with stuff like this. But they played a certain way during the regular season that teams catch up to in the playoffs. It reminds me a little bit of the Knicks last year. Teams that were sort of going so hard. And for the Knicks last season, it was play their starters 40 minutes, kind of like the Raptors this year. For the Grizzlies, it was everybody was going full tilt every second all season long. And it was awesome because they rolled up wins. They were dominating teams. But you don't have that energy edge in the postseason the same way. So you kind of combine that with matchup stuff. This was going to be a close series from the outset. You could easily see this thing going seven, couldn't you?
I could absolutely, but if you're giving me seven, I will grab it. You know,
that's a lot.
I worry about the Grizzlies. Would you take any of the points with either of the eight seeds tonight, the Pelicans or the, it's already escaping me now, the Atlanta Hawks?
The Hawks or the other one. I think if I was going to go either way with points, it would probably be the Pelicans. That first game was so weird from a statistical breakdown standpoint with the Suns getting vastly out rebound. I think the Pelicans had something like 25 extra opportunities at the rim or on the offensive side compared to Phoenix. But then Phoenix made all of their shots and the Pelicans missed most of theirs. So they had all these offensive rebounding chances. I think a lot of that stuff kind of comes towards the middle. And the question is, which pendulum swings farther? You know, do the Suns, does their shooting come down? Do the Pelicans shooting, does that come up enough to kind of buttress against the fact that there's almost no way the Suns get out rebounded by 20 again in this second game? This card was a tough one tonight. I thought I had the pace for these games really close, especially T-Wolves Grizz. I thought 240 is actually a really good number for that one. Pelicans Suns, I thought around 220 was a pretty good number for that one. If I was going to take the points in either underdog, I would probably look at the Pelicans in that late one. The Heat, when they're now focused again.
Oh man,
really didn't notice how good that team can be when they care about a basketball game.
So it's hard to know where the Hawks' bad scheduling spot and that, you know, where that began, where that ended, and then the Heat's focus began, right? So I guess we'll find out much about that tonight. What is the single biggest thing that has surprised you so far in the postseason? Whether it's a team that comported themselves better than you thought they would, whether it's a team that's blowing out another team more than you thought they would, because tomorrow night we have a game three between the Raptors and the Sixers. And then we have game two, of course, of Brooklyn and Boston. Cannot wait for that. Game one was everything it could possibly have been, living up to the hype. And we also have game two of the Bucks and the Bulls. And I almost think we've dismissed the Bulls, and they were really good in game one.
Yeah, I think the big surprise for me is not so much is in that Sixers-Raptors series, and it's not so much that the Raptors haven't been very good, but that the Sixers have played really well so far, and they've done it without James Harden having to do a whole lot himself on the offensive end, and that's probably the formula for them. So I got to give credit to the Sixers. They've looked good. Tobias Harris has probably played his two best games of the year in the postseason. Tyrese Maxey's continued to do his thing. Embiid, you know, he didn't shoot the ball well in game one, but of course he's getting to the free throw line. And the Raptors just kind of look more overmatched than I would have ever expected in that series so far. But we'll see how things flip now as they head into Canada. The other series have been fairly expected, I thought. T-Wolves winning by a bunch surprised me, but the fact that it was a close or good ball game for a while, that didn't. I think maybe Bucks could say they took their foot off the gas a little bit after getting out to a lead. I think we're going to see a better Milwaukee performance here in game two. And I feel like a lot of the sports community sort of looked at and thought, boy, Bulls missed a chance to steal one.
That's how I thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was their shot.
Pretty much the only player in that whole game that looked decent on either side.
Yeah. Which brings me to the Warriors, who I started this show today by saying it's the most beautiful thing in sports, right? Like when they were winning three championships, it was the most beautiful thing in sports. I would even argue that that last night was maybe even more beautiful than all of those. Like maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment, but like there were moments last night where I'm like, I was just like, you know, I'm on my couch falling over at some of the plays that Jordan Poole specifically was making with his passes. But it was just a thing of beauty. And I don't want to necessarily focus on this series because I'm going to, you know, without reinforcements, I'm going to go ahead and think, and I think you would too, that the Warriors will get by the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I mean, the big question there was how many games would it take? And yeah. I think that was based pretty heavily on when Steph came back and he was back to start the series. So that one, as soon as he was, and I don't care if he was coming off the bench or starting, whatever you want. Once he was good enough to play, that series was done.
But, you know, when that was happening last night, a bunch of us were throwing text around, getting way ahead of ourselves, right? But, like, I have this Warriors ticket that I even forgot about from, like, early in the season, Warriors plus 550 to win the title. They're right around there now again. But projecting forward to the Western Conference Finals, if you have a Warriors-Suns final, which is very possible, right, especially if the Grizzlies struggle with the T-Wolves, it looks like it could very well be a Warriors Suns Western Conference final. What in the world is that series going to look like? And what would the price be on that? How big of a favorite would the Suns be?
I don't think that much of a favorite anymore. I mean, it always is the same story come playoff time, and it's health. And the Warriors have theirs back after not since, when did Draymond go down? Was that January?
I believe. Yeah, I believe
been forever.
So.
Yeah. We've all forgotten. They were neck and neck with the Suns for the first 2.5 months this season.
Oh, I didn't forget. That's when I made my bet.
You can't. That's a team where they really can't afford to have one of the key pieces out, which is fair. I mean, most teams can't really, but you know, I might call it more acute with a player like Steph going down, since everything they do is built around this one guy. But he's back now, and Draymond's back, because everything defensively is built around that one guy. You can't take that one piece out from their equation and expect them to be anywhere near as good as they were. So the jump you're seeing, and Gil, I think we even talked about this back in maybe when Draymond went down, he's one of those guys where when he's out, the line under adjusts for it because of how critical he is for the team. And so you need those pieces together. The Warriors are a really good team this season when they're healthy, and they're very close to being that again. I don't think the Suns would be that large of a favorite, especially, and I think it'll be clouded a bit, by how good the Warriors look getting there. And so far, they're just trouncing a team that, you know, as great as Nikola Jokic has been this year, he needs help.
He needs help.
And
he's
getting
help.
Clobbered.
Yeah, he needs help. Oh, and I so totally get his frustration, right?
I feel sad for him. Where's his help?
Shaq did such a great job of breaking it down on Inside the NBA, which is like, and he related to playing against Barkley. You have this much smaller guy than you in Draymond compared to Jokic, who's constantly like underneath you and can sort of conceal what he's doing and not get the call. And as soon as you, as the huge guy, exert any force, right, 80%, they'll whistle you in a heartbeat. So I get it, man. I totally get it. But that is his plight right now, Nikola Jokic, without the reinforcements. Dano enjoyed it. Thank you, as always.
Thanks, Gil.
Dan Bespris, who I don't believe had a play tonight. Did you have a play, Dan? Well, we'll find out off air. So I'll text you one. Text me one. I'll relate it next segment. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
A Numbers Game with
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, it's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well, producer number 5 and 8, and also the host of Bet Center on the weekend. Remind everybody, Jeff Parles, when you do that show on the weekend, Bet Center.
Rotating schedule at this point, Gil. So this week I'll be on Betting Across America with the glue that keeps the network together. I'll be with Wes on Saturday.
All right.
Noon Eastern Saturday.
Elmer's glue. Absolutely. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Corbin just locked Taro Daniel at even money, hoping we can get a early winner this morning. Bonus, I get to watch you on my TV now since my TV package goes to Game Plus. Wowza, your guys' heads are a lot bigger than on my laptop.
Jeff, I'm surprised that you needed a bigger screen to figure that out.
You should see this picture, Jeff. Your head is looking particularly monstrous because I think they have you closer to the screen than me.
I mean that sounds. I'm surprised. I don't even need a camera to be able to see my head usually in things.
Norman Vegas, nice shout out for you as panel moderator during Bet Bash on the new Spanky podcast. Oh, thank you, Norm, for mentioning that. Thank you, Spanky. I will give a listen for sure. By the way, I can't say it again. I know we Bet Bash is in the rearview mirror, Bet Bash 2 now, but I'll say it one more time. The greatest sports betting conference in the Western Hemisphere that there ever has been. Jason Weingarten and I still text about it every day still. It was just an awesome, awesome experience for all around. And if there is a Bet Bash 3, which I assume there will be, maybe I shouldn't assume, but if there's a Bet Bash 3 in Las Vegas in the coming year, please, please try to be there. Speaking to everyone listening on that. Asian Lebowski, diving into the annals of 95th-minute segues and the one used on today's show, it could be argued, was the greatest of all time. Thank you. Thank you very much. I love how people pay attention to the finer points here. So let's review. By the way, Dan Bespris, let's review what we have as picks today on the show and what we don't have. Because a lot of it was, we're going to get to the NFL draft here, which was a lot of, I don't know. So, one, Dan Bespris did text, and he said he is on the under in the Hawks game tonight. He's on the under 212 in the Hawks-Heat game tonight. So, he does have one NBA play tonight. It was a furrowed brow. You're not seeing 212? Is that not?
No, he texted the wrong number.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. He's got the under in that.
Yeah, 219 and a half.
219. He texted the wrong number. But he's got the under in that. Okay. And I have the tennis picks, Taro Daniel again, in case you missed it, which is going to start here very shortly, that one in Belgrade. And I got Kyung Wong tomorrow on the ladies' side in Istanbul over Cerebes Tormo. So we do have tennis picks. And yesterday, the ones that we gave out on a numbers game, we went 0-1. The second one was voided because Serrano Sestea played somebody else that wasn't the opponent that we had when we played it. So we end up going 0-1. But we do have a lot of plays in the overnight. And again, Jeff will corroborate here. So I'm like, you know, I was 2-1 overnight in matches that have already been completed. I have two others that are going on right now. We're in gaming. When we fall behind, we're in gaming. So Jabeur did come back and got the second set there, Jeff, in one of them?
Yeah, on serve in the third set now.
I'm almost wondering if I should give the ones out on a daily basis that we have in progress just to see if there are in-game opportunities for folks as well. So we got to perhaps adjust that, but I just don't want to overrun the show with in-game tennis as well as pre-flop tennis. But generally, and by the way, I'm on the Minnesota Timberwolves plus the points tonight. Jeff, do you have any basketball plays tonight or baseball plays? And we'll get to baseball with Mark Borchardt here momentarily as the Giants and Mets finally get to play and they have a doubleheader coming today.
Yeah, just looking at those two games because we talked about yesterday the ridiculously low total when the show was going with McGill and Cobb.
Ticked up to 7, didn't it?
It got to 7 by the time that game got postponed yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was actually juice on the over, so it maybe even got to 7.5 by game time if they had played it at a regular scheduled time. Right now I'm seeing 7 on that first game with Cobb and McGill again. I'm actually seeing even money on the over, juice to the over, minus 120 right now on that. And then the second game, we tried to guess what Scherzer and Webb would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6.5. So,
well, we saw the 6.5 yesterday. We're like, well, that's got to be 6 tops, you know.
Might have even been a 5.5, yeah. We thought. But
right.
7 and 6.5 for those games. Gil, just looking through, I don't have any bets in Major League Baseball, but I'm only seeing two games that are totaled larger than 8. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Only the Phillies and Rockies and the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are the only two games north of 8 total-wise?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you want that to happen, baseball? Do you want it to be lower scoring now? I don't know. Anyway, where I was getting with all of this was, on this show, we only give picks when we actually have them, right? We're not forcing picks just to talk about games. We're not interested in going, you know, 3-3 on a nightly basis or 5-5 in whatever sport. We only talk about them when we have them. And so it harkens back to the first segment where we had Drew Dinsick on, and Drew and I are going to do the NFL Draft podcast on Beating the Book, feed. Wherever podcasts are distributed, Beating the Book podcast on Monday. Hopefully Matt Brown will join us for that as well. And we'll do our annual NFL draft pod. But, you know, if you got the end of that segment, a lot of people are going to be disappointed because the takeaway, again, here 9 days away from the draft, is we don't know a whole bunch, which is, again, that's the irony of Vegas not having them widespread. But shout out to William Hill. They put out more draft props. And they're taking a dime on all these. They might even be taking more. I haven't pushed it past the dime. So good on them. Stations is taking a dime on all theirs. Good on them. Boyd has bets. They're not taking a dime, but, you know, good on them for having them. But you have a lot of books in town. You have some prominent names of books that they're only going to have them up for 3 days. And by Nevada gaming regulations, they're going to be down 24 hours before the draft starts. That's the irony. The irony is that this is the draft they might win on. They're so scared about previous drafts. This is the one they might actually win on. They shouldn't be scared to book these, which whether they want to say or not is they are. So here are my six draft bets. And again, I don't know anything in any way like I thought I did in previous years, and I ended up being corroborated by the results in previous years. We had huge years in the draft. 5-0, 8-1-1, huge dominant drafts. So here I have six plays, and again, the only thing I have subscribed to in all of this, and the only thing that is guiding me, is this notion that teams are going to draft as many wide receivers as possible, and that teams are probably, as they always do, going to go quarterback crazy. Anything else, I have no idea, but that I'm willing to buy into. So a few of my bets are informed by that, namely, quarterbacks drafted in the first round over three, minus 115. I think that's a push or worst. I do not believe that there are only going to be two quarterbacks drafted in the first round. By the way, this Malik Willis to Detroit, you can still get a really big number on him going to Detroit with a second pick in the draft. I want to say I saw 7-1 out there. Would you bet that 7-1? Malik Willis going second?
Probably take a small piece.
Yeah.
I don't think it hurts taking a small piece of that if it's still at 7-1. That's kind of crazy at this point.
Well, that's now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm like, did I see that correctly? Let me not lie. Let me go to where I thought I saw that and corroborate that. But anyway, I'm taking quarterbacks drafted in the first round over three, minus 115. And I'm taking, and I'm not taking, I already bet, wide receivers drafted in the first round over six at plus 140. That was available over at Stations. Both of those were available at Stations. And by the way, checking on the Malik Willis thing, number two pick in the draft, second overall pick, Malik Willis can be had at 6-1. Pardon me, 6-1. I think that moved from earlier this morning. 6-1. That's still if you believe the Detroit Lions are going to take Malik Willis, 6-1 is the number two pick in the draft. That might be worth a little bet at a certain shop in town.
Why not?
I also have first cornerback drafted, Derek Stingley, plus 280, which I have no expectation will come home, but honestly, if I was a GM and Derek Stingley was sitting in front of me, I'd pick him. Just the amazing athlete he is, the amazing defender that he is. I don't necessarily buy into the Sauce Gardner thing. And then total number of safeties in the first round, under 1.5 at plus 188. I couldn't believe that number. Really? Two safeties are going to get drafted? And then you see both the draft position for Stingley and Gardner under 11.5, under 7.5, respectively, both of those at Boyd. Those are my only six bets right now. But if we could see a draft where Aiden Hutchinson now is not drafted first, maybe if you believe the steam on Trayvon Walker, and if that's the case, as Drew said, and I said this yesterday as well, if the Jaguars don't go Aiden Hutchinson, the Lions are absolutely going to go Aiden Hutchinson, which means the whole Malik Willis thing gets knocked out. There are going to be how many, let's put it this way. Here's an over-under bet for you on this year's draft. How many
completely mind-blowing moments will we see in this first round where we're like, I cannot believe that team just picked that person there? I'm going to set that at 3.5 this year.
If you include trades that would surprise you on draft night, I would go well over.
Well
that.
Over. If you include well trades. Yeah. And that's the issue, right? That's the issue. It's like, because again, you have eight teams with multiple picks. So I just wanted to just reiterate that. Just because the draft is there and doesn't mean that all drafts are going to be winners every year. That's just not how this works. And so eventually we're going to run into a draft where we don't win. This could very well be that one. It's just there's too many mocks out there, too many versions of the mocks from too many people that you've never heard from before. And honestly, Daniel Jeremiah on the eve of the draft, that's the only mock you'll want to see. And by then, it could be too late. Coming back, baseball next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. I thought something was happening there. I got a little freaked out. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. And Mark Borchardt joins us, ladies and gentlemen, from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him at BaseWinner on Twitter. And, of course, doing stuff for U.S. Bets this year. How you doing, Mark?
Bet U.S., Gil. Yes, all the way. Daily show. It's cool, man. I'm doing great. It's like I'm having so much fun. This season feels like a real season. I tell you, 2020, of course, you know, you had 60 games. And that wasn't, I mean, it was better than nothing because of COVID. Last year with the 7-inning doubleheaders, with the attendance limitations, guys were on COVID list all the time. Last year really didn't seem like a real season. This year kind of feels like 2018, 2019, and I'm really pumped up. I'm really having a good time. It's been fun.
Been a good start for you?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, from a win-loss standpoint, you know, the model's modeling, and I'm happy about that. And it's interesting, like, I'm really happy about, like, having the expected standings on my site. It's working perfectly. The base winner ERA on my site and everything. So I'm really actually enjoying going to my site, getting numbers from my site that I built. And so it's kind of rewarding, you know, from a personal standpoint, Gil.
So here's the dilly. Here's what we're doing. So you have your base winner expected standings, and that is a look in the That's actually a look in the rear view where they should be right now. But we're just talking about how some books now have adjusted win totals throughout the year. So we might be able to put those two things together and figure out some bets, if you know what I mean, Mark Borchardt.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really valuable to you know, figure out who's lucky, who's unlucky. Mm-hmm. For example, in today's Mets game, I've got the Giants at 7-2, but they should be, you know, probably more around even based on the expected standings. So I think it's a good thing to. Well, I know. The thing about the Giants, man, I'm not. You know, they were like some of the projections were super bearish on. Like Pecota was just like, I mean. I think they just expected everybody to regress to like their worst performance. They had them like winning 77 games. It's like, oh, wow.
When are people going to figure out about teams like the Rays and the Giants that they just kind of get things that others don't? Like, when, you know, their ability to manage the clubs that they have at any given moment. Like, again, this Giants team, just a very simple example. They know they have Webb. They know they have Rodon. As long as those two guys are going good, great. Leave them in ball games. The other two guys, right, Disclafani and Cobb, all right, watch every single pitch, get ready for the hook, and those are treated like bullpen games. And the Giants, even when they won the three World Series, right, they figured out the bullpen thing better than anybody else. And that's just kind of their magic alchemy. And so here they do have a doubleheader against the Giants. We were talking about this yesterday, how initially the McGill versus Cobb matchup had a 6.5 posted as the total. And we were like, well, if that's 6.5, by the way, it's 7 now. But if that's 6.5, my God, Scherzer and Webb, that could be 5.5 for all we know. You like the Mets in lineups are key with doubleheaders. So are you taking the Mets in the first game here?
It's, you know what? I liked it yesterday. I liked the matchup. The Miguel Cobb matchup. I like both pitchers. Don't get me wrong. I just like Miguel a little bit better than Cobb. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about these doubleheaders, Gil. Yeah. This is the first time in, well, 3 years, really, that they're going to play a 9-inning doubleheader. Mm-hmm. And you got 2,400 games, 2,460 to be exact, on the Major League Baseball schedule for the season. So I just think with these, I think this is an opportunity to not play, use a little bit of discipline and not play them.
I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. An opportunity to not play. I like how you said that.
Yeah,
it's very true.
Yeah.
I agree completely. Why bother? You have literally 2,000 plus more games to play. Why mess around with something that has, you know, even more moving parts than normal? You do like the Mariners today, though.
Yeah, and this one's kind of a hard one for me to handicap. And I think it's even harder for the Seattle Mariners front office. I think they have 115 million reasons why they want to see Robbie Ray's velocity increase and his advanced metrics get better. But Robbie Ray, if you look at his first two starts, he did, by my metrics, he did have a 70 percentile his first start out. But his last start was really poor. It was a 39 percentile by that three metric chart. He only had an 8% swinging strike rate. His hard hit per nine against the White Sox his last time out, 18.5 per nine. And so there's some concerning numbers from at least from an initial standpoint, but the most concerning, probably the velocity drop. It's like 2 or 3 miles an hour. And basically the way I'm handicapping this is I'm going to take a look at his long-term projections rather than two starts. And if you look at his first two starts last season, they were a 13 percentile and a 30 percentile. But for me, the velocity is concerning. It's going to be interesting to see how he pitches against this Texas team. I actually was lucky enough to catch the spring training match between Texas and Seattle. He struck out six in four innings, facing pretty much the same lineup. And that was only 2 weeks ago. So anyway, I've got it priced -212 Seattle. The market has it at -130. I think it's good value if we get the Robbie Ray that we got last year. So that's a big if, but excited to see kind of how he performs tonight.
Yeah. I always trip out over your projection differences between your number and what the actual market is, because my reaction is always, oh my God, if you have that big of a difference in the price, shouldn't you be, you know, betting your house on it? But you're just so people know, Mark's differences in projections are always going to sound much more dramatic than they actually are. If I can put it that way, is that fair?
Well, if you think about it, Gil, it's like, okay, so I'm giving them a 68% chance to win, and that still means that they got a 32% chance to lose.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, are you going to bet your house on something that has a 32% chance to lose? Probably not, unless
probably
you're
really
not. Like high risk, I guess.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you clarified that for folks. That's so. Perhaps it doesn't sound just for those who are like, oh my God, that's a massive disparity.
No. I'm glad you clarified that, because if you're just starting out in betting, you're like, whoa, this guy. Hopefully, you think I know what I'm talking about. But let's say that you do, and you think I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. Look at this big disparity. I'm gonna bet my balance on it. No. You still have an opportunity, a 32% chance to lose this game. But I get what the market's doing though, because Ray's numbers weren't good in his last start. But check this out, Gil. In the fourth inning, he was pitching in it like a. It was a torrential rainstorm. It was really awful. I don't know why they let him pitch. So I'm hoping personally, I've got him at my group of five Cy Young guys. I'm hoping the guy will turn it around. And I think that Mariner front office with that big contract, I think they're hoping the same thing, Gil.
All right. And then you didn't tell me this, but I was catching wind. You have some other, are you doing a parlay today? What are you doing?
I'm doing the first lay the wood parlay of the year, Gil. This is
oh,
a special
go.
For your show. And I like Burns and Cole here. So I'm going to parlay the Yankees at -220, the Brewers at -240. And it gets you about +112 if you parlay them together. But real quickly, I'm looking at stuff metrics. There's a guy, Eno Saris, that publishes the stuff. And
sure.
It basically takes difference in velocity between fastball and the off-speed stuff, you know, movement, horizontal movement, vertical movement, all the things that you would consider stuff. And early returns on his stuff for Burns and Cole. He's got Burns in the 94th percentile and Cole in the 97th percentile. I've got the Brewers priced at -292, the Yankees priced at -375. I think there's a lot of good reasons to just bang it here, Gil.
Let me ask you, because you go back to the expected standings here for a second that you have.
Sure.
The Dodgers are 8-2. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball. Your expected standings, I would imagine, has them around 8-2, doesn't it?
7.7 and 2.3, so implied win percentage of 7.66. So yeah, right around there, Gil.
Yeah. What's the biggest difference at a glance here in the first 10 games between actual record?
From a team that's most likely to regress to the negative, the Rockies overall record 7-3. I've got their expected record of 4.5 and 5.5, and it makes sense. Their weighted runs created plus pretty good, and that does account for the Colorado park factor as well. That weighted runs created plus number 114, 14% better than average. XFIP minus is terrible, though, 109. And then the defensive runs saved, they've actually allowed 7 more runs than an average team. So that's kind of how that shakes out to that implied win probability of 450 on the expected standing skill.
Interesting. What about underperforming thus far?
You know, this one's really interesting. It's the Texas Rangers, and I'm betting against them tonight. So I did, but I did look at this before I made the play. 2-7 overall, but they should be 5-4, 5.1 and 3.9 implied win percentage of 568. Good weighted runs created plus at 105, and xFIP minus. If you guys would have said that the Rangers team as a team is going to have the fifth best xFIP minus in baseball when they started the season, I'm going to give you a prize. They are fifth in baseball. They're tied with the Giants in xFIP minus at 89, Gil.
And that lineup can out-hit teams. You don't even have to have great pitching performances every night. That lineup will out-hit you some nights.
Yeah, Simeon and your boy Seager, who they're starting to intentionally walk. I don't know why they did that, but they've got some performance there. I don't know if top to bottom if I like it as much as the next guy, but yeah, that's what they've done so far.
Yeah, not top to bottom, but certainly the first chunk of that lineup is outstanding. Always interesting. Rangers most underperforming thus far, Rockies most overperforming. That makes, intuitively, it makes some sense, I think. Mark, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk soon again.
Awesome, Gil. Thanks a lot.
Mark Borchardt, everybody, at Base Winner on the Twitter machine. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Don't forget, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback during the show. Good, bad, indifferent. As long as you're funny, you can murder me. Doesn't matter. Bears 100 at the Bears 788-780. Please, yes, please give out all your tennis picks so that maybe we could get in-game. Thanks so much. Jeff Parlay made it in-game on one of the tennis picks overnight. on Jabeur gets home after being down a set. That was actually the line. Again, this match started before we got a chance to give out the tennis picks, so we had to erase it off the board. It was actually on the screen, but then we had to erase it by the time I got to the tennis picks. She fell down a set. What did you get her at after one set, Jeff?
I have to double check my number, but it was in the middle of the first set, actually. So
what'd you get? Plus?
I got
plus two something.
Plus 210.
Yeah.
There you go.
I would love to know what the record is on matches where we fall down a set and jump in game. But that was beautiful. Nicely done. Let's see. This is from Thomas R. On the safeties bet. Oh, I have under 1.5 plus 188. He said, I think it's important to see if Dax Hill is considered a safety. I've seen a lot of people linking him to the Patriots at 21. Get Kazarian on the phone. He's great at this stuff. Scott, let's see. Mad Marine 77. Gil, with Rodgers locked up, with Aaron Rodgers locked up, do you think the Packers trade Jordan Love to a team like Carolina to move up in the draft to select a wide receiver? Wait a minute now. Are you suggesting that the Carolina Panthers would trade? What do they have, the sixth pick in the draft?
Yeah, if Carolina traded the sixth overall pick for Jordan Love, in that front office should be out.
Out. Yeah, no. I don't believe that will happen. Plus Carolina, and we were talking about this off air. Jimmy Garoppolo still out there, Baker Mayfield still out there. The notion that they would trade such a commodity for Jordan Love seems, how can I put this?
Yeah, and it's also debatable that Darnold and Love are not much different anyway, so why would you do that?
Keno Walker. Yes, sir. Ons plus 3.5, minus 105, live in set one was just ridiculous. Had to double down. This one is from Drew Dinsick, actually responding to the Dax Hill comment about being listed as a cornerback. It's a great point and a solid landing spot. So, yeah, we got to check on that. And let's see. This is one saying, Jerry Palmetto chiming in, saying, interesting, Borchard concluded saying he was going to play the Rangers after opening the segment, putting a change on the Mariners. No. He said he was fading the Rangers. He just thinks that they are the most underperforming team thus far. In fact, he even clarified that he was betting against them tonight. So he is betting against the Rangers. No confusion there whatsoever. Did you see this, Jeff? This has nothing to do with anything. I'm just curious. Do you hear that they're keeping Mel Kiper from going to the draft? Did you see
this? I saw, yeah.
We still doing that? Because he didn't get fully vaccinated? They're keeping him from going to the draft? I guess there's a company rule on that? Wow. That seems bizarre that would happen. Anyway, here are some. We could do a whole segment on that, but I'd rather not. They added a whole bunch more, stuff to William Hill in terms of draft props, and good on them for doing so. But these are exact position. These are exact positions, by the way. How much of the USFL did you end up watching? Did you watch that Drek last night at all?
No.
Yeah.
All I know is the head coach of the Pittsburgh Maulers cut one of his players because he was supposedly rude to hotel staff for wanting a slice of pizza over chicken salad. So I'm going to be passing on the USFL for a little bit, Gil.
Yeah, I think that is just an absolute cuttable offense is what that is, a suspendable offense. Kidding. Malik Willis, under 9.5, plus 110. So again, this is all over the place. Malik Willis, under 9.5, plus 110.
See, this just, again, we
have no idea.
Well, we've talked about the last 2 days where,
right,
Gil, it's less than 10 days now. This is still the cloudiest lead up. I can remember even 2020 was in this cloudy from an NFL draft betting perspective.
Because on the one hand, you see that, you're like, oh my God, what is he supposed to go second to the Lions? Let me run and bet that. Yeah, but if he doesn't go there.
You're hoping Carolina or Atlanta pull the trigger.
I mean, do you buy into the fact that they'll go quarterback crazy and love Malik Willis from Liberty? I mean, I don't know. Desmond Ridder, under 31.5 at plus 110. Cleverly put at 31.5. A lot of people think Detroit at 32 might take Desmond Ridder. There's a whole bunch of these. Drake London, under 10.5, plus 115. Kenny Pickett, under 10.5, plus 165. There are overs to these as well. I'm just citing the under parts. I don't know. You can bet it. You can still get Ahmad Gardner at under 7.5, but you got to pay a lot more juice than I did. It's minus 175 now. I paid, I think, minus 115. Can't remember whatever we had up on the board there. And then Aiden Hutchinson now is minus 175 in some spots. That at BetMGM. By the way, Jameson Williams, under 11.5 plus 150. Another one of those. Do you buy into this fact? Because Jameson Williams has gotten some steam, right? Where it's like, steam I use both in the figurative and literal sense, which is in the betting markets and also just sort of narrative on media. Like, oh, well, because look, we all watch college football. Was anybody better than Jameson Williams at wideout? I don't know that you can make a case that anybody was in the end. Would I draft him? Yeah. But every mock that you've seen had either London or Wilson going before him until recently, but under 10.5, there is, I guess what I'm saying is there's going to be so many different moments that are going to throw all of this in the air. Oh, and you know what else I don't want to hear after the draft? And this applies to even us if we win. I don't want to hear any chirping. We never chirp, but I just want to hear any chirping on this stuff. Because none of us knows a thing. By the way, so BetMGM, proud sponsors of this show, that's where I brought up earlier, Malik Willis to go second, where the Lions currently inhabit, 6-1. Kayvon Thibodeau is now plus 150. Where did that come from all of a sudden? I'm just saying, these are just the markets. I don't know how accurate these are, right? First pick, Aiden Hutchinson is minus 175. Trayvon Walker plus 140. As that gets closer and closer. There are so many of these where you're like, I really want to bet 6-1 on Malik Willis, but then it's just a draft where you don't feel nearly as confident on. That's why, again, my bread and butter on these, of my six plays that I've already made, I have focused very narrowly. Beyond, of all the six, I have focused completely on many quarterbacks will be drafted, many wide receivers will be drafted, and I think the two corners go, Ahmad Gardner and Derek Stingley, go much earlier than people expect. That's essentially my entire narrative on my bets. I haven't, and the one safety bet, under 1.5. That's a great point about Dax Hill. Maybe I'll get torpedoed there. But other than that, like, I'm not straying. I'm not doing this stuff like exact pick, as tempting as some of those are on some of these other positions. All right, here's first quarterback selected, Jeff, now. Malik Willis minus is at BetMGM. Minus 155. Kenny Pickett plus 130. Desmond Ridder now 8-1. He's the third shot now. Matt Corral 16-1. Sam Howell 40-1. Carson Strong 100-1.
Carson Strong.
Would you take a flyer on Carson Strong at 100-1 to be the first quarterback picked? All it takes is one.
It's not going to happen.
No?
And if it does, and if someone has that bet, congratulations.
All right, here you go. First running back selected. Not will a running back be drafted in the first round, but first running back selected. Brees Hall minus 250. Kenneth Walker plus 250. Isn't there enough juice on Walker? At least have you heard that you would take a flyer on plus 250? Again, I haven't made any of these bets. I told you the six I made. But I'm just sort of thinking on some of these out loud. None of these are good enough for me to want. None of these are clear enough for me to want to make a bet. And then finally, first wide receiver. This is at BetMGM. Garrett Wilson plus 125. Jameson Williams down to plus 150.
That's too short.
Drake London plus 210. Everybody else, including Chris Olave, 16-1 and beyond. They even have Treleon Burks at 14-1, shorter than Olave at this point. Anyway, it is the point of all of that is this is about as unclear of a draft 9 days.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.